Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and today I want to wrap up reflection on John's Gospel, Chapter 8. We looked at it, I think, on Tuesday and Wednesday, and yesterday was the celebration, the solemnity of the Annunciation of our Lord. And this is the climax of the conflict in this section of the gospel between Jesus and the religious leaders. And it's really heating up. And there's a deep blindness in the religious leaders that Jesus is manifesting. And at the heart of it, they won't receive him. They won't receive his word. They won't receive that he's the son. They don't believe the meaning of the signs and the wonders that are undeniable that Jesus is performing. So the battle is going on between them. So here's verse 39, chapter 8. They answered him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children," so they're claiming to say that they are direct descendants of Abraham, and they stand in the lineage and the authority, that they're the true proprietors of Israel and the like. They're claiming it. So Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do what Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth which I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You do the works of your father." So remember, Abraham was ready to obey God no matter what, even to sacrifice Isaac. And so Abraham was under obedience and followed God's command and was willing to follow it to the end, God the Father. And he says, "But now you seek to kill me." Isaac is a kind of figure of Christ. And there's a lot to that story, the carrying of the wood, all this. There's just a lot there in the sacrificing of Isaac. He's a type of what Jesus is in fullness and perfection and what God intended. Isaac's death would not produce what Jesus' death alone could produce, because he's the Son of God, right? He's the eternal Son of God. So the reading goes on. He says, "You do the works of your father." And now they're going to get down to it. He said, they said to him, "We were not born of fornication. We have one father, even God." Now they're claiming God is their father. Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded and came forth from God." So there's the test. How about the boldness of Jesus? You know, we talk about the shocking things Jesus says, and they're claiming that God is their father. These are the leaders of the people of Israel. And Jesus looks them right in the eye in front of the crowds, and he challenges them. And he said, "Look, if you really did love God the Father, you'd love me. You don't love me." It means you don't love him. He's reading the true condition of their hearts, and that's dramatic. That's really powerful. Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded and came forth from God, and I came not on my own accord, but he sent me." There's a theme that he's going to take up in different ways, has from the beginning of John's gospel, but will say it in even more clear ways as he talks about the apostles, as he's praying to the Father in John 17, as he's speaking to the apostles, all this at the Last Supper discourse and those chapters we looked at last week and the beginning of this week. And how he prayed for them, and he said, "Father, they have received your word. They have accepted what I've said about you, and that I come from you, and that you sent me. These are the ones," he said, "that you have chosen, Father." How does Jesus know it? Because they're the ones that received the word, the revelation, the truth about God's plan and purpose. Just the opposite of what the Pharisees or the religious leaders are doing. They're rejecting it completely. And so Jesus identifies, he said, "You would have recognized that I come from the Father. You would recognize that I don't just come on my own authority. And you would know that I was sent." He's saying to them, you could know this. But because of your sin, you're blinded. Because of your pride, you're shut off to the truth that I'm bringing. Friends, that's the temptation of the human heart. People resist God ultimately because we don't want to follow God. We don't want to live by his authority. We don't want to put something first in our lives. We want to be the masters of our own destiny and the rest. And we can say, well, you know, you can't blame people because it's kind of hard to know God and the rest. But think about what the apostles preached, what Paul said, Romans 1. He said that the wrath of God was coming is because human beings are suppressing the truth about God, that this truth can be known even through what God has revealed in nature. But they're suppressing the truth because they don't want the full implications of what the truth means. Lent is about coming to terms with the condition of your heart, my heart, on these issues. Am I fully receiving and accepting and surrendering my life to the actual things that Jesus is teaching and calling us to, that the church preserves for us, the church communicates to us? Sometimes the church doesn't communicate it very clearly. Sometimes it's compromised because of the weakness of people in the church in various positions, but the gold is there in the church. The faith has been protected. It's there. And what good preaching does is it exposes exactly what Jesus is exposing in the Pharisees here and the religious leaders, the true condition of the heart. It disrupts, it upsets, it doesn't leave. The God's word is meant to. If we're sitting on our own throne and our own kingdom, it's possible to be a churchgoer and actually still do that, to be in charge of your life, to have your priorities dominate, to be living for yourself or living for the applause of the world, certain people in the world. You could be securing all your own pleasures and sort of fitting God into your thing. And when a priest or a preacher or God's promptings in your life call you out of how you want to define your life, it upsets you. You don't like it. Well, the upsetting is good. It's normal. But to double down on it is foolish. It's God's grace to turn over, to come into the temple of our lives and to turn over the tables on occasion and to make us see the real condition of our heart. And Jesus will do anything to help us get there. First, he woos us. He mercifully, tenderly, you know, tries to win us and to draw us closer. But if we ignore it, we double down on it, keep resisting it, and we insist on living the way the Pharisees were, for whatever reason, he will do whatever's necessary to give us a chance to see it and to come to final repentance. It's really important to be able to see that, know that he's so passionate about leading us there. Again, if God were my Father, you would love me, for I proceeded and came forth from God, and I came not on my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. Friends, this is such an important thing to see. Why can't people believe? Why can't they understand why? Who Jesus is and respond to him? Why don't they understand what he's saying? Because you cannot bear to hear my word. I don't want to hear the word. That's a lot of what goes on in the world. That's how God sees it. There's a lot of shutting down of the voice of God. There's an editing of the word of God that's very common. Pope Benedict said at one point, you know, one of the great crises of this modern, postmodern age is the emptying of the figure of Jesus Christ, reducing Jesus to a Jesus who fits. Again, fits into my lifestyle, my definition of what I'm after. And we don't have to, by doing that, we control the information flow. And we don't have to come to terms with the shocking claims of Jesus and his demands on our life, which are for our good. He knows it. That's why he doesn't hesitate. That's the only way we'll ever find the fullness of joy and genuine happiness and absolute freedom is to respond to what he's bringing. That's why he'll never dumb it down. That's why he'll never trim it. He'll just bring it. He'll bring what the Father gave him to bring because his word is life. It gives life. For those who are listening who are teachers or preachers or priests or maybe even a bishop or two, I know that sometimes the word of God that surfaces on a Sunday is a tough word to communicate. Don't hold back. Put yourself under the word. You're not thundering forth and condemning people. I mean, that's what often excuses can be made to say, I don't want people to feel bad. I don't want them to feel condemned. And I'm no different than they are. So, well, yeah, right. Hopefully you're further along the road, but you're right. everybody is meant to stand under the Word of God. God's Word is essential for all of us, and all of us stand under the judgment of God's Word. And judgment is a good thing. Jesus diagnoses the condition of our lives, and that's what we want to know. We want to know the truth about where we're at. And we're not afraid because we know He loves us, and His motive is love. Of course, the Pharisees are struggling with that here. He says, because you can't hear my word, and you are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires, his desires. My goodness. My goodness. Did you hear that? Jesus is saying that to the religious leaders of the people of Israel. Why they can't hear the word? Why they don't understand what Jesus is saying? Why are they resisting both his words and deeds? Because they're children of the devil. Wow. Can you imagine? And they got angry. He goes on to say, the devil, he's your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks according to his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe. Remember Paul's conversion story, Acts 26, and he's on his way to Damascus to get after the Jews who were converting to Jesus. And he has this encounter with Jesus on the road. And he falls to the ground, and he's surrounded by light. He falls to the ground, and Jesus, he sees the glory of Jesus. And Jesus tells him that he's coming, and he tells him his mission. And he said, now stand up. I'm going to lead you. And he says, what you're going to do is you're going to take the gospel to the Gentiles, and you're going to lead them from darkness to light, from the devil, slavery of the devil, to God, and to bring them into faith in Jesus. That's what he was told. That's what his mission is. And that's what the church's mission is, to break the power of the darkness of sin and its power ruling over human hearts, manipulated by the devil, that prevents people from seeing the light of the glory of God that shines on the face of Jesus Christ, that prevents them from receiving the word that's brought by Jesus. That's for the whole world. I mean, friends, there's only two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of light has brought down ultimately the power of the kingdom of darkness. You're going to be in one kingdom or the other. A great reflection for Lent is to come to terms with that. Who am I serving? My life will show at the end of my life who I served. Was my life characterized by wholehearted love for God? Or did I hedge my bets? Did I have one foot in the kingdom, one foot in the world? Or did I live in the world? I mean, all of it's going to be exposed before the fiery eyes of him to whom we all must render an account. It's so important in Lent to come to terms with the dramatic reality of what Jesus is saying here. He's the Son of God. What's holding back the religious leaders is they're walking in darkness. Their pride is keeping them enslaved. And whether they like it or not, they're serving the wrong king in the wrong kingdom. And there's either one king you're going to serve. There's only the kingdom who is our Lord Jesus Christ, or the king of this fallen world, the devil. It's a choice to be made for all of us. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.